And if you want to know how we know how not to do it, we will tell you. But this is a way to really pray. We want to model this for you right now.
And thank you for Rick. God, thank you for everything that I need in a husband, that he is, God. Thank you for supplying what I need. By faith, I thank you, God, that you are going to just challenge him and grow him and give him all that he needs and help me to receive, Lord God, that gift in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray for our marriage. I pray, God, that we're going to leave here today better and stronger for your good and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we did that for you and very serious because we wanted to model what you're going to do right now. And what we want you to do with your spouse right now, we want you to pray for one another. Now, I don't know where you are with your walk with God. And I don't know where you are with Jesus right now. This could feel awkward. This could feel like I'm not a good prayer. Trust me, the only way not to do this is just not to open your mouth. Just open your mouth and dare to ask God. Just ask for a blessing. If nothing else, God, bless this day. Bless my spouse, okay? So right standing up right there, could you, with your spouse, just pray right now. Just pray a simple prayer. Just right now, just out loud. Right. If after you're done, you can be seated and look at your spouse and just tell them, look them in the eyes right now and say, you pray good. Come on, tell them that. You pray good.
You pray good. All right, I want you to give yourselves a great big hand for being here. You actually made it, right? You actually made it. I mean, it's a Saturday. It's here at the church. You paid $40 or maybe $50. You didn't have to pay that, but you paid to be here. You know, we did not pay to come here so that I could change Rick. We invested money. I invested money in our marriage so that I can learn what I need to learn as a wife so that I can change. My goal is not to fix him. It's to change me.
And we're here to celebrate marriage, and we're here to grow, and we're going to leave here better than when we came. How many of y'all believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. 34 years ago, this October, Natalie and I stood actually right in
down there.
This spot right about here, and we got married right in this room. And there's a if you could put that up, I'd appreciate that. There it is, right there. And it was just so awesome. And when we were dating, a part of this church, we were pursuing one another. And we were really, really pursuing one another. And what would it look like if we kept pursuing one another just like we did before we were married? What would all of our marriages look like? Yeah? Come on. And we got married to one another for specific reasons. Why did you marry me?
So I married him because he was so dedicated to God. I saw the change in him. I saw his passion for God. And he was so funny. He just made me laugh all the time.
That doesn't irritate you now, though, does it?
Well.
And I got married. Natalie was so dedicated to God, so dedicated to the things of God. And that was just so attractive, along with when we start dating, right, and we'd come to church here and we'd be listening to the messages. she'd always like cross her legs, and they were so attractive. I mean, her legs just like, I was distracted. I was. And that was just, that wasn't the reason, but it was a really...
Did you pick something spiritual at all?
Yeah, I said you were spiritual.
Oh, okay, I missed that.
I said you were so spiritual, you were taking notes.
Okay, you know, all right. So let's move along.
Let's move along here.
So right now, we would like you to share with your friend, your forever friend, your partner, your lover, what's the reason that you married or want to get married to that person? So do that now.
Give them one reason why you got married. Go ahead. All right. It's good to remember those things, right? It's good to remember why we got married. Hey, we have an awesome day. We have 4 sessions for you today. We're going to take breaks in between every session. And so they're about 45 minutes. We have a special guest. I'm going to introduce him at the second session. Natalie and I get to do the first one. He's going to do the rest, but it's really going to help you today.
Yeah, it's going to give you opportunity to connect and to communicate with one another.
That is not what the notes say. There is another word there on the notes.
You put that in there.
I know. And at the end of the day, we're going to consummate this marriage. Come okay. on. And that's why we're here. Come on. I was just telling you right now. Like, how many guys could feel the anointing right there? Come on. I mean, you got this great date night thing here. You know, don't scratch them all off. You scratch off one, and then you do that date. And I know I'm not the only person that thought there were some other things on this card underneath here. I'm just... pointing that.
So weird.
I know. Thank you. But there's going to be breaks. There's going to be a lot of fun here. But listen, if we're just going to try to get you connected here. How many of y'all ever gone to Kennywood? How many of y'all like it? How many of y'all endure it? Doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it. And listen, if your spouse were a ride at Kennywood, what ride would they be? Now, what ride our
would,
lives?
Would you be?
Our lives, yeah.
He would be the whip. It's like we go along smooth and then whoop. We just, like, I don't know where it came from. It just pop around the corner we go. Then we go along smooth and then whoop, there we go again.
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
It would be the exterminator.
Hey.
No, listen to me. I've been thinking about this. I spend most of our married life in the dark, wondering what's going to happen next.
That's not true, because you leave the lights on all the time. So, anyway.
So real quick, if your spouse were a ride at Kennywood, what kind of ride would they be? Come on, just turn to your spouse. Just share with them. Don't overthink it. There's the boats in the middle. There's Old Mill. There's the swings. Oh, come on, just go. Just share with them. Talk. All right. Some of you look like you like that question a little too much, okay? I'm not sure, but you look like you like that one a little too much. Some of you are enduring it, and everybody else is somewhere in between. Come on, somebody.
So we're going to go to one of our scriptures, Psalm 34:3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." You know, we're going to magnify the Lord in our relationships. We're going to make him larger, because that's what magnify means. Because when he is larger, we tend to see less of our issues. We see more of him.
Now, this isn't a typical marriage verse. This isn't a typical verse that you would hear at a marriage focus. But again, what would it look like if we spent our time magnifying the good and magnifying God together? It was so powerful earlier when all of us couples were magnifying God in song. But that's not only what we're talking about. How can we magnify God together?
So looking at that magnifying glass, we can choose what we magnify. And what we magnify will determine the way we're going to walk in our marriages. And, you know, I can tell you right now, for 34 years, our marriage has not been perfect. And it's getting there, but it's not perfect. And I think we think that we have to be perfect in order to magnify God. And once he gets it right, or once she gets it right, then we're going to be able to magnify the Lord. But God wants us to magnify him even in our mess.
Now, out of all of the people on the planet, God chose you to bring the best out of your spouse. Now, I want you to think about that. Out of everybody on the whole planet, in all of time, in all of history, God chose you to bring the best out of your spouse. How powerful is that?
That's pretty powerful. And I think about some of the times, instead of bringing the best out of our spouse, we are good record keepers. We keep records of wrong. Sometimes we keep score. How many times he did this, how many times she did that, who's winning, who's losing. And we're magnifying the negative things. And I would just want to say to you, if you're feeling that right now, if you're feeling like, man, I've been magnifying the wrong thing, you can take 30 seconds here and now and ask God to forgive you. You know, God, I've been magnifying the wrong things. Please forgive me. Let today be the start of a new day so that I can magnify you, that we can magnify you in our marriage.
Well, let's just maybe just do that. Just right now in your heart, not even verbally with one another. Just stop just right now and just say, God, what have I been magnifying? God, what have I been, if I've been keeping any record of wrong, just look to God right now, right where you are. Say, God, I'm so sorry. I don't want to magnify all those things. And then God, help me, just in your own way, help me begin to magnify the good things and together. Amen? See, it's just like that. We can deal quickly with these things. Amen? So, listen, this is it. Like, don't downgrade your dream of marriage to match your history. But upgrade your faith to match your destiny.
Say it again.
Don't downgrade your dream for your marriage because to match your history, but instead upgrade your faith to match your destiny. Amen. See, many of us have downgraded because we're trying to match our history. And we're not here to deal with your history today. We're here to deal with your future, and that's going to take faith. But that's because our marriage, every marriage in this room has a destiny right now. It has something that it can produce. And we need to realize that the devil hates your marriage. It's the devil that hates your marriage. The devil hates everything to do with your marriage. So today, we're here to say, it's you and me against the devil. And we are going to magnify the Lord together. Amen. The devil's not going to have any rule or reign in our house anymore. The devil's not going to have any place with us. We're not going to magnify all those things. We're going to move forward. And we're going to pursue one another just the way we did when we were dating, when we first met. How many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all, that's a distant memory? Yeah, but that's what we're going to do. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. Every married couple can magnify the Lord together by pursuing their spouse like when they were first engaged. And men, we're going to nourish and cherish our wives. And brides, help and honor husbands. That's the big idea. That's it. We're going to pursue one another. That's why we came here. We came here to pursue one another. And that's so awesome. And now I'm going to learn how to nourish and cherish and honor and help. That's what we're going to do.
And the scripture in Ephesians 5:33 says, "So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So we magnify the Lord by love and respect.
Now, husbands, in this text in Ephesians, 3 times in 8 verses, we're commanded to love our wives. We're commanded to love our wives. Why are we commanded 3 times in 8 verses? Because our wives are not always lovable.
That's not what we have in the notes.
I know.
The real reason is because they need to hear it 3 times before they remember to do it.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? Yeah, but we are. I mean, but literally, sometimes we as husbands, we want our wives to do something lovable before we'll love them. Do something lovable, then I'll love you. But that's not the command at all.
And also for wives, I mean, respect does not come easy. We want to see it first. I want to see that he's worthy of me giving him respect before I give it to him. And I think that's why God commands the women to respect their husbands, because it's not easy to do, because we want to be right.
And even if your man's not respectable, it doesn't say only if he does respectable things. It says we got to do that, and that's how we need to be here. See, we wake up every day with 2 thoughts. Every man wakes up with this thought: am I still your hero, and do I have what it takes?
And every woman wakes up and thinks, does he still love me? Am I still his woman?
And I think that's really it. And so are we going to pursue and magnify God together and communicate those things over and over and over again? I just want to be your hero. I want to know that I have what it takes. And I want to convince you that I love you, and I love you with all of my heart. So we're going to take a moment with your hero and bride.
And wives, you have to be able to let him know, you know, convince him that he is still your hero. And even if you have to do it by faith. Now, you don't have to say, hey, I'm doing this by faith, because that's really dumb, you know. This will not help. But by faith, you can say to Jesus inside your heart, I'm going to say something nice to him, even though he hasn't been nice to me. And
that's in theory.
In theory, but okay. Yes, I think those things are important.
And then husbands, you're going to communicate how she is the most important person on the planet. So I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to communicate those things. Wives, convince him, and men, communicate that she's the most important. Put it in your words. Go ahead, right now. Talk with one another. All right. Y'all connecting, communicating already? How many of y'all are glad you came so far? Come on, it's going to get better too. Here we go. Husbands, magnify the Lord. How will we magnify the Lord? This isn't the only ways. This is just a couple ways here. As we nourish and cherish our wives. In Ephesians 5:28, in the same way, husbands should love their wives. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. And nourish. Nourish means providing every essential ingredient for my wife to flourish and feed others. So I am to nourish her and give her everything essential so that she can be her best for other people. That's nourish right there. That's so awesome. And cherish, it's the ministry of providing warmth and affection for my wife to feel healthy and beautiful. Now, I'll be honest. Sometimes, like when I first started coming across this whole cherish thing, I said, you know, God, this whole cherish thing sounds a little too effeminate for me. And I don't like this word cherish. I did. And I was like, God, I don't think cherish is the right word. And then I really felt like a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was like, you cherish your tennis racket. You cherish to make sure that your tennis racket matches your tennis bag. And I said, yeah, God, but that's different. And then there's this whole thing about providing warmth and providing a warm home. And I'll be honest, I'm like most of the guys in this room. Every fall, when it starts getting colder, I make a declaration in our home, we're not going to turn the heat on until after Thanksgiving. Because we're going to save money. Come on, guys. Yeah, thank you. I see those hands. Come on, yeah. And that usually lasts till like the third week in October. Because I'm supposed to provide warmth, but not just a warm home here. It's really to provide a warmth, to cherish. I'm here to make her look good. In dancing, whenever you see a man and a woman dancing, whether it's ballet or any type of dance, the main goal and role of the man is to make the woman look good. In marriage, it's a lot like this dance. My main goal is to make her look good. Beautiful, accepted, valued, and all of those things. So really, that's it. It's my job is to value and bring life to her and give her what she really, really needs. Not always, and I'm going to say this, not always wants, but needs, so that I can nourish and feed. And that's my number one job. Now, we were away recently, and Natalie was going into a store, and she was going into the store.
It was a jewelry store.
I wasn't going to say that, but it was a jewelry store. And I said to her, do you want me to go with you? Because I said, do you want me to go with you? And she said, no. I said, I'll go with you. Do you want me to go into the store with you? And she said, no, I want you to stay out here and you can like mingle around.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said mingle around, look out here. And so I said, oh, good. And I stayed out there and I mingled around and I just stood outside and watched her inside.
So as I'm in there, I was kind of a little bit hurt that he didn't come in to find out what I was looking at. He didn't want to know. And so I was like telling him about that later on that day. I was like, you never came in.
And I was like, I did exactly what you asked.
And then I realized, oh my gosh, I did tell him to stay out there. But I wanted him to read my mind and know that it really meant come in.
Are you feeling the whole exterminator thing?
I'm sorry.
And so, but in reality, I was trying to value, I was trying to care. She stated, do this. And ladies, we men, like, what you say is, we actually think you mean it.
And after the almost 34 years of marriage, I'm learning to get better at this. But obviously, you see, I just tripped up on that. And it's like we women do need to be clear with what we mean and say what we mean what we say.
So as a woman, what does it mean to be cherished?
So I can't tell you what it means to be cherished. I mean, I can. But as soon as I say something out of my mouth, like, oh, when you fix a bubble bath for me and I get to spend no time with the kids and just be in the bathroom all alone, or when you take the kids, or when you work on something around the house, right away another woman goes, well, I don't need bubble baths. And then she just kind of like, you know, it's like, I don't need that. But what do you need? I think your guy needs to know what it is that you need that says you cherish me. And for some, it might be, you know, knocking down a wall and building something. But men, you have to know your wives, and wives, you have to let them ask, like, what does that mean to cherish you? Because it's not going to be the same as Natalie. It's not going to be the same as the person sitting next to you. It's going to be you.
There it is. And so if you don't know, ask. So what we're going to do right now is, husbands, I want you to ask your wives, what do I do that makes you feel nourished and cherished? What do I do that makes you feel nourished and cherished? Ladies, This isn't a time to point out you never. This isn't a time to say you won't. No, no, no. He's asking you a real question. Share with him, when is it that you feel nourished and cherished? Go ahead. All right. Yeah, powerful things happen. Men, don't get defensive. Don't say, but I do that. Just listen. That what we're trying to model for you is one of the most powerful things we can do in a marriage, in a relationship, is when we ask questions, just listen. And allow the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and hear us here. And men, when your wife begins to share what really nourishes her and cherishes her, like lean in. Lean in. Listen. Validate. And what I mean by validate, say, thank you. I needed to hear that. That's what we need. That's what they're looking. And don't ever stamp it with you're crazy. No, I'm sharing this for a reason. People do that. She's not crazy. She's not emotional. She wants to be nourished and cherished. And God chose you to bring the best out in her. That's how much God trusts you as a man. God trusts you. Wow, that is so powerful. So let's keep rolling here.
So, and ladies, in that, you know, when he is there listening, we can't take advantage of that and just go and 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 go. We need to stop at some point and value his time and value that he is leaning in and listening to us. So
here we go. We're transitioning here. We talked about nourishing and cherishing. Now we're going to talk to wives on how they can magnify the Lord.
So wives can magnify God as they faithfully help and honor their husband. Now, I know a lot of you might have checked out when I said help their husband, because we don't like that as women. We want to be in charge, and we want him to be the helper, right? There are times we feel that, and that's a cultural, that's a worldly thing. This is what God says in Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Look to your spouse and say, I'm just right for you.
Just right.
Listen, I find it interesting when I look at Genesis 1 and all of the ways that God created everything that he created, the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and he would get to the end of a day and say it was good. And then he went on to the next day and he would say it was good. And in my mind, I think, where would you imagine where it was not good? In my mind, I would think it would be in Genesis 3 when they sinned in the garden. But actually, it was not good that man was alone. Notice it doesn't say that man wasn't good, that Adam wasn't good. It says it is not good that he is alone. And he said, I will make a helper just right for him. And that is a helper suitable. And those words are in the Hebrew, it's Ezer Kenegdo. And I love studying this out because I'm kind of a nerd on this kind of stuff. That Ezer means helper, aid, strengthen. It's a very strong warrior type word. And it means helping, aiding, and strengthening another in a way that they cannot do for themselves. Very interesting. And woman is called, like God chose to call me, the first woman actually, but me, an Ezer, that I am an Ezer to my husband. More interestingly is that other places in the Bible where Ezer is used, it refers to God. God is Ezer to his relationship to Israel. And there are a lot of scriptures I could give you, but I just want to read Psalm 121 very quickly. It's not up on the notes, but it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My Ezer comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And if you continue to read Psalm 121, it talks about the sun won't smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you. And those are all verb actions that the Lord does, Ezers for his people. This is what me as a woman, a wife, is supposed to bring to the table. That helper suitable is not a subservient person like, oh, just tell me what I'm supposed to do, Rick, because I can't think on my own. No, it's I'm looking out for him. I'm Ezering. I'm side by side. I'm taking that strength and aid. I'm looking for ways that I can support him, encourage him, and strengthen him without telling him, you're so weak, I got to help you here. You know? Do you want to say anything before I keep going?
Oh, no, keep going. You're on a roll. And it's good.
You know, so Ezer is the side-by-side. The kenegdo is the face-to-face. So, you know, they have a description of the word kenegdo is one who stands in front of, opposite to, face-to-face, in the spirit of not letting you go in any way that you want to. It's like a help, right? And we need to have this mindset as women that God, first of all, thinks that we're special, that we're called a word of God. We're called Ezer. But it's not my job to point out all his faults, but it's to call and speak out all the things in him that he can be or that he is. I need to call out the hero in him. My job is to strengthen him and empower him to do all that he's called to do. And I just think it's a good thing that God said that man needed woman.
How many of y'all think that was good there? And let me tell you this. The difference is in as men, we don't need a mom, we need a wife. And I hear and we see so many people that women are treating him like a child rather than your husband. See this a lot. I don't like to have to ask permission to do things. That is mom. I love having discussion, and I don't mind having discussion about calendars and schedules and what's good for us and what's not. I'm great with that. But when I am reduced to, oh, can I please, you know, am I allowed? Like, I can't, or I gotta see what she says. You know, really, really, and so it doesn't mean nagging. It means I need somebody to speak life to me. I need somebody to speak to, because I feel every day of my life, I feel like a failure. Every day of my life, I wonder if I have what it takes. And I believe I'm speaking on behalf of most of the men in this room right now. And there's one person on the planet that can speak redemptively to me. It's this woman of God, my help and honoring. This is how we magnify the Lord. We magnify God when I am nourishing and cherishing and making Natalie feel beautiful and I'm giving her what she really needs to thrive for other people. That magnifies God. It's not just so she'll give me something. And versa versa, that's magnifying God when she's my helper. And I don't want anybody else in the planet to be my helper. I want you. And that's so powerful.
And we have to realize that life and death are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. And what he's saying is so true. In honoring, Ephesians 5:33, each wife we talked about respecting, honoring, and how it's not easy. It doesn't come easy. We have to catch ourselves. You know, it only takes a moment. We catch ourselves in the moment that we're not honoring and not respecting and correct it. We don't just live for days and days. For instance, we had a family text message that everybody was talking about this weekend. We're celebrating four of our kids' birthdays, and there was a lot of communication. But then he decided to go and talk to one of our kids on a separate text, and he assumed what they were saying was on our family text. So I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he's like, yeah, it's in there. This is the cake they want you to make. And I'm like, no, it's not in there. I've looked. I'm on it. And he kept saying, yes, it's in there. And so we stood side by side, and he showed me. He's like, oh, yeah, it is separate. It is just with this person. And I was like, well, duh. I realized right away when I saw the tone, the look of his face, that I just disrespected him, and I needed to correct that quickly. I didn't need to do that. But it's things like that that I think God wants to be magnified even with those little things.
And with that situation, we both, right away, I just said, I'm sorry. This is one of my things. I want to be first to repent. I want to be the first to forgive. I want to be the first to be humble. And I just said, I'm sorry. I thought it was. And then you said.
I said, I forgive you, and I'm sorry that I said that. That was so disrespectful.
Yeah, and you know what? And we went on and had a great night. It was that simple. We didn't need to bring it up three times. We didn't bring it. But when we deal with it like that, it's like, wait a minute. I wasn't nourishing and cherishing her. She wasn't respecting me. We stopped right there and just said, look, we did this. Man, let's move on. Amen? Good? Okay, here we go. Listen, when Natalie believes in me, I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. When she believes in me. When she doesn't, and when I'm not feeling that, I can't even get my feet off the ground. That's the truth. You know, and so that's, ladies, the power that you have and how you can do it here.
Yeah, and I think that we have to, as women, communicate just simply that I believe in you. And how is it that you can communicate to your man, I believe in you, that he would know? And sometimes it's simple when you ask. Like, he came home one day, the kids were little, and he's like, well, when you're happy when I come home, then I'm happy. But when you give me the scowl and I can't figure out, are you mad at me? Are you mad at the kids? Are you mad at something that happened? Like, I make the house miserable.
And so just how simple that is. I just love it when you're happy. That honors me. When you're smiling, I'm smiling. Now think about how simple that is, okay? Really, really simple. So here we go.
So we have a slide up there. Wives, ask your husbands, what can I do to help you? And what makes you feel honored? And our goal is to listen and not to say, well, I do that. Our goal is to just, and if you have to, just hold your lips. Because sometimes we want to prove we're doing it or say, well, last week just what can I do to help you and what makes you feel honored?
There you go. Team up. Let's have a quick conversation. All right. How y'all doing out there? Y'all doing good? Come on, you're doing good? You're having a good conversation? You're communicating a little bit? Come on, we are just so, so proud of you for being here today. And both of us, we're just so amped. We had over 200 people sign up for today. Isn't that awesome? Come on, again, that's huge. And we believe in marriage, we believe in you, and we're so thankful that you're here. And thank you for allowing us to share with you this first session. It was just so, so awesome. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. You're going to go to the back, and you're going to buy hoodies and shirts and sweatshirts, and because Kennywood's coming, and you want to match, okay? So Kennywood's coming. You want to match. You got to get your Kennywood outfit. But then there's also snacks in the back. Get to the restroom. We're going to look at the clock right in the back that says 10:03. It is about 2 minutes short there. But at 10:15, we're going to be in your seat, ready to go. And Matt's going to come up. He's going to take the next session. So stand up. Let's go back. Merch is this way. Snacks are that way. Get to the restroom. Get a coffee. Get a drink. Come on back. Let's have a great day together.